The Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Well, thank you so much, Mark Ramsey, and thank you for joining me for Ram Radio, the webcast. Here on this Monday, August the 6th, 2012, in the Lucy Coleman studio, Reformation Apologetic Ministry, which is the Biblical Alternative. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, always admonishes us to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a ready defense to everyone who asks us to give an account of the hope that is in us with gentleness and with reverence. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Ram Radio. Now, today we're going to have an interesting discussion on this Monday morning. And the discussion that we're going to have is one that I think that all Christians ought to have at least every day, because I was engaged in this discussion last night before I dozed off into sleep. And again, this morning when I got up. What is it that I was engaged in? I was engaged in prayer. That's what we're going to discuss. Very rarely do we discuss prayer. At times, a lot of people, you know, are a little bit too ashamed. How do we petition God about the things that are going on in our lives? How do we make those decisions? This week is a very important week in my life because I've already made some very important decisions, and now these decisions has to be actualized. You know, one of the most difficult things for me to do is to write checks when I know that it's going to deplete my entire account. Have you ever felt like that? You know, gosh, I hate to write this. I have a few hundred dollars left and my creditors are screaming at the door. It's the sixth of the month. I haven't paid anybody yet. And it's kind of a rough time for me right now. I knew that times would be rough like that, but, you know, it's kind of slow in getting to where I wanted to get. But I talked to God about it. I don't talk to people about it. As a matter of fact, a person was telling me the other day, he said, why don't you talk to someone about your misgivings? Why don't you let people know? Nah, I don't do that. I don't do that. That is a problem with the pastorate. I believe that a man should be self-sufficient. By this time, if I cannot self-suffice my own life, I am a miserable man. I've worked my entire life, and my entire life has been worked towards the benefit of, I don't like to call us religious people, but people that claim to be the church. But I want to talk about prayer a little bit. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Such encouragement to me. So God is saying, John, do you want to resolve in your dilemma? Most of my dilemma every night when I go to bed is my extreme loneliness. You know, PJ, Pastor John, has always been right up front with you. Extremely lonely. Extremely. And I'm going to give some of you brothers and sisters, I guess, listening to me, the antidote, if you will, to loneliness. Stack your pillows on your bed. Put it up against the headboard. Set up in the bed, in the middle of the bed. Acknowledge to God that you are alone. Acknowledge to God how it makes you feel. Acknowledge to him your passion, your anxiety in this area, and then ask him to relieve you of that and see what happens. That's the way you resolve it. That's the way you resolve it. And it all starts through prayer. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. You see what I'm talking about? Prayer. Ask God. Seek it. He'll open it up. But you have to believe. That's the whole point. You have to believe. My friends, if you're not believing God, then nothing will come to you. We stay in the New Testament. Philippians 4:6. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Did you hear that? Isn't that what I just told you? It's no anxiety and everything, no tension, no pressure. It's all going to be all right, but you've got to work at it because you've got to pray. You've got to stay alert. So God commands us. As a matter of fact, in Psalms 5:2, he says, hearken to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to thee do I pray. You see what the psalmist is saying? He's saying, listen, see the tears that roll down my cheek. I got an email from a dear friend of mine in Pennsylvania. It's getting rough. She and her husband spend their whole life working and doing music, collecting music and everything. And things are so rough, she's selling all of the works, every piece of music. And her husband is a professional, selling it just to have spending change, extra money. Their marriage is over. And I just called her all the way in Pennsylvania to encourage her. It's rough all over. Everybody are going through dire straits. Have to go to God about that. Matthew 4:10. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only should you serve. See, prayer is to be offered to God. Don't listen to the devil when he comes to try to give you a counterfeit solution to your problem. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I've been dealing with this counterfeitness for years. Our prayer should be directed towards Christ. For it tells us in Luke 23:42, and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You see what the thief on the cross said? He said, hey, I'm going to die on this cross beam here. Hey, listen, I'm offering my prayer to you, because I want you to remember me when we come to that great divide. Acts 7:59. And as they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You see, even in the midst of your madness, you can come to Jesus and he will suffice. Now, you're not going to be praying out of your own mind and out of your own head and out of your own anxiety, because all this stuff, see, prayer is a metaphysical responsibility that every true believer has towards God, to go to God in order that God may bring about a resolve of your dilemma. In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, it says, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. That's where it's going. And how does he direct your heart and love to the steadfastness of Christ? He does it through the auspices of the Holy Spirit that he has given each and every one of us as believers. We know that. And so what we have to do is we have to confidently keep our trust in Jesus. Ephesians 2:18 lets us know that the conduit is Christ. For through him, see, that's what a conduit is. We get something done through him. Through him, we both have access in one spirit to who? To the Father. Through Jesus, we can reach God. I know that Jesus is God. I know that the concept of the Trinity is a mysterious thing. I'm not going to try to sit here in the studio this morning and break down the Trinity. I have other Bible studies on that. I'm just telling you that you have to allow the conduit of the Holy Spirit to take you up to that particular point. Let's look at Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. You see what I'm talking about? That conduit of Jesus. We have this strong confidence as we go to God in prayer. I want you to continue to put forth great, great, great trust in God. Now is when we have to trust in God. A thought just came into my head about my African brothers, because if they're living in Muslim countries and their pastor has a computer and they have the internet, they are listening to me under great, great intensity and fear. And the propaganda that's going around in the church today in America is ridiculous, because that's all it is propaganda. We don't suffer here in America like they suffer there. We don't have the confidence that my Nigerian and Albanian or Albanian Christians have. They have far more confidence than we have, because they've learned how to live within this realm of confidence. So we are told about that. Now, prayer also is answered by God. We know that. In Psalms 99:6, it says, Moses and Aaron were amongst his priests. Samuel also was amongst those who called on his name. They cried to the Lord, and look at the last part of this verse, and he answered them. God answers prayer. He answers the prayer of all of his children. As a matter of fact, Jesus put it this way, he'll answer while you yet call it. That was one of the great and tremendous promises that I received years ago as a young man when I was in church. Just to know that he would answer while I'm calling. Psalm 118:5 says, out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. He answered me and set me free. We have to allow him to answer us. We must allow him. Psalm 138:3 carries the situation further. He says, on the day I called, thou didst answer me, my strength of soul thou didst increase. God will do that for us. Do we believe it? Will we believe it? Will we allow him through prayer to let that conduit of the Holy Spirit work in our lives and bring us to the point of victory? Christ gives us this. Go to John 4:10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that was saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Do you think that Jesus would do any less for you, my friend? This is what I'm talking about. I don't know why. And you know what? Some of you Bible teachers and pastors, I'm just into the Power Bible program, reading the scriptures to you here in the studio, just giving it to you in the real, in the raw. Why can't you get it? I got it. God wants you to have it. He wants you to experience the power of prayer in your life. He also desires of you that you will gain the benefit of prayer. Prayer is our theme today here on this Monday, the 6th of August, 2012. And as I talk about prayer, well, let me keep on moving, because we can do intercessory prayer. In other words, pray for other people. 1 Timothy 2:2 says, for kings and all who are in high position. that we lead a quiet and peaceable life, godly and respectable, or right, respectful in every way. We're to pray for these people that are in authority over us. I'm appalled. I was looking at CNN last night, and usually I don't watch that network because there's nothing noteworthy or newsworthy on there for me. But they had an interesting, I guess you can call it a byline or some kind of a program, where I understand that in the state of Mississippi, there's this little red-haired white boy, teenager, that is wreaking havoc on the racial divide in Mississippi. Some small town, and the blacks are protesting, the liberal whites are protesting, and the conservative whites are saying that this young white boy has been heard talking about Obama and everybody. This is America. You don't have to like everybody. I don't know where we get this idea that, as a matter of fact, I was watching, oh my goodness, people, after I finished everything here in the studio yesterday and had my worship and took communion, I said, well, let me see what's noteworthy, newsworthy on YouTube. And I went on YouTube and I came across this story. It's kind of good that I forget the guy's name. There was a double murder. And these brothers and these other people were involved in it. And the mother of the two young men that went to jail was a crackhead. And I watched every clip associated with the murder. I was paying very close attention to the white couples because there were two white older couples my age whose daughter and son were killed by these black people. The boy was shot in the head twice and sodomized by a very wicked black man. And the girl was forced to perform. I mean, it was horrible. The story, and as I was looking at the defense attorney and the prosecuting attorney and the family of these people, and all this on YouTube, this has to do with prayer. And at the end of it, there was an interesting 30 minutes or so. The sister of one brother, because one brother is going to get the death penalty, obviously, just wicked. He had been wicked. Some people I know are born wicked. And, you know, I'm kind of crazy. I love people like that. I really do. I have a love for them. And especially if I've never known them and if I could come in contact with them. I have this crazy idea that believes that my love is so great, especially if it's a black male, that it will outdo the wickedness that is in them. Now, and I'm talking about on a first time meet. That's the kind of a person I am. Wicked people disgust me, but they don't completely turn me off. I understand depravity. I understand what the Adamic nature is. I understand what seminal representation is, and I can idealize that in my head. And so since I can take that and work with it, I can work with it. So I watched the whole thing. And at the end of it, the sister of the younger brother, and she was on the stand, and you know how you try to talk to the jury and tell them how much you love your family member and how he was given a raw deal and everything like that. And I'm listening to the arguments, and it's obvious. And right at the end of the sister's argument, she turns to the family of the young girl that was just so cruelly treated by this young African-American man. And the father, bless his little heart, oh my God. Because, you know, the judge tells the people in the court, you can't say nothing. You can't say nothing. No, I don't know why the judge does that. Tell him no outbursts. There can be no outbursts. Oh my God. And this man and his wife, and along with the other couple, put forth so much restraint. It was amazing to me. I don't know the names of these people, and I'm not going to give it to you. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Listen to this. It was amazing. Because all the father would do was make a hand gesture, and he would look. The African-American woman looked at him and said, "I know, sir, you hate me. You hate my brother. I know." And the woman said, "I understand that." And then she broke out in tears and said, "Please know this. I love my little brother. I love him." And then the court camera focused upon the man. And I saw what her statements did for him. He got life in prison. His other brother got the death penalty. It was horrific. It was horrible what happened to those people. And the young man, the boyfriend of the girl that they killed our other brother. And somebody else killed him because the little brother had nothing to do with killing them. But the boyfriend was shot in the back twice and sodomized. Because the older brother had a practice of doing that, he was in prison. And when you go to prison, you just become animalistic. And the younger brother had not done anything like that. But what he did was... Well, I don't even want to get into it. But I was looking at this and I said, "Oh my God," I began to pray. Last night before I went to sleep, I prayed for the younger brother. I said, "Lord, I don't know what prison he's in. I don't know where he is. But let him know in some kind of way that somebody loves him, that I love him." Without the love of Christ coming around you people, there is nothing but darkness. Do you hear me? And as much as the Christian church no longer wants to, it appears, the Christian church, whatever that is, whoever they are, I don't think that they want to acknowledge the fact that pure wickedness exists. As I was looking at this stuff, I was asking myself a question. I said, "Man, what would happen if somebody would burst in my house tonight? Two or three guys would burst in, tie me up, torture me, sodomize me, and start killing me." It is something that could happen and that is detrimental. Yes. Yes. No. It could. It is. But prayer. Prayer should be offered. Okay. Now, it should be offered by the church, or it can be offered by minister. So let's first deal with the ministerial concept here, because it says that you also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on your behalf for the blessings granted us in answer to many prayers. And so you see, this is a real situation that is supposed to be acknowledged and cared for by ministers. And not only by ministers, but by the other people in the situation. We have to understand that. It must take place. Now, you know, some may take odds with me and say, "John, I mean, why don't you pray for the church? You know, why don't you pray for the church? Why, why, Why are you wasting your prayers for depraved, debauched people and stuff like that? Man, I want to tell you all something. Let me tell you something right now. If it had not been for my grandmother on my father's side offering prayers up for me, because I remember before I became a Christian, before I got saved, if you want to put it that way, my grandmother told me, God, I recall when I was a young lad and my grandmother was ill and she came to live with us because our father was in the hospital at that time. My mother was dead and our father was in the hospital. He was injured on the job, so grandma had to come and live with us. And when she came to live with us, she was convalescing in the bed, and she would ask me. I just thought about this, people. This is the first time I thought about this after all these years. I had Ross as my brother. Donna was my sister. She was living with us at the time. Eleanor was gone because she was married and had her children. And Brad was a little baby. Brad was 7 or 8 years old, something like that. But I remember what Grandma used to do. She used to call me and say, John Jr., you come here and read my Bible to me. And I used to say, I don't want to read the Bible. I want to go out and play with the boys out there. I don't want to read no Bible. And she said, John Jr., you come in here right now. And I would start reading the Bible to her. Listen to me. I would read that Bible. And she would have me reading something in the red letter edition. I knew that it was Jesus's words. And I did not know exactly what the words meant. But I was reading the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. And she would look at me and her eyes would light up. I'm 15 years old. I'm thinking something like that. I'm 15 years old and I'm reading these things and her eyes would light up and she would listen to me read that text. And I hated it. I wanted to go outside and play. It is through the prayers of my grandmother that to this day, I am a pastor. That's how powerful prayer is. Now, the church is admonished to pray in Psalms 122 and 6. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Do you pray for peace in your home, in your environment, in your neighborhood? That's why when I saw those two boys, one got the death penalty and the other brother got life imprisonment. And then I saw his sister praying for the jury to not kill her little brother. Because she broke down on the stand and said, I love my little brother. I love him. And you know what? She said, yes, he smoked crack cocaine with my mama. Yes, she put him on dope. She did all that. Yes, there was wicked influence in his life. But she told the very white man that was looking at her that she knew hated her and her brother. She said, I know you hate me. Because of what happened to your daughter. Why immediately did I start praying for the boy? And I know he's in prison now. And I started to pray for him right where I was in my home when I saw him. Don't even know this kid. Because I saw his eyes. And I knew that he needed somebody to pray for him. And you know what? We won't even do it. Look at Philippians 1:19. Yes. And I shall rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that it will turn out for my deliverance. See, that's what I was doing. I was praying for that young man's deliverance from the pit. And he's in prison for the rest of his life. Man, if you could have seen that young lad's face to know that. Did you know that young black men are being thrown in prison? For men in their 20s. Wait a minute. In prison for the rest of his life. Unbelievable. And I want to tell you people something. When I was in the military, I was in the military stockade for 20 days, and that was for insubordination to a non-commissioned officer. I've never been in a city jail or a penitentiary. I have never been in a place where when I took a dump, that there was no lid on the toilet and 20 other men was looking at me. That I would not be able to move my bowel. I could not. I'd probably die of constipation. Because there is no privacy, no dignity, nothing. It has to stink in a place like that. It has to be one of the most egregious places that a human being could ever go. I thought about this young black man in prison for the rest of his life. And this thing that I watched on the internet yesterday was done in 2008. So it's 4 years down the track, and I'm still praying for him. Because I saw his eyes when his sister was on the stand begging the jury for his life. And you people that go to church ain't praying for nobody. You are crazy. Did you ever look at Ephesians 6:18? For it says, pray at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, look what it says. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, see, it is important for us to do that. Prayer is important. As I see other Christians around me lose everything they have, hey, I know what I'm talking about. Because I've got plenty of nothing, and nothing sure enough got plenty of me. But I am commanded to pray. And this is what I have to do. And so I want you people to start praying for somebody other than your own selfish existent life. If anything, just go to prisons.com and look at some of the pictures of the prisoners on the internet. In any state in this country, white, black, Hispanic, don't see too many Asians in prison. And that is extraordinary. I'm sure we have a sizable amount of Asians in prison. In this country, I just don't see very many Asian prisoners. I haven't looked at stats on that, but there's enough brothers in there for us to pray for. Don't be thinking about how smelly they are and about the rude, crude crimes that they've done. I looked at this brother and I loved him. I said, God, I wish he was my boy, my son, that I could write every day, that I could encourage. I have a nephew that's in prison. He's been in prison his whole adult life. He about cussed me out. That's why I don't write him anymore. I kept telling him how much I loved him and I'm concerned about him. And he thought that was totally unnatural. Because he's been in prison so long that he thinks that the modus operandi is that I need to hate him. Because of him being a robber. He robs jewelry places, I think. I don't know that much about that mess. But I still offer up some prayers for him. From a nephew. People, we are to pray for all men. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, then, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men. That's in our Bibles. Pray for these people. Now, I'm from the inner city of Los Angeles. I know what's going on here. I know the pains and the trials of a young man. I will lift them up to God. That boy may be in prison, but he can be free as a bird. And it's horrible in prison. Everybody's having sex with everybody. I hear that thing that got so bad that, I went to one video clip and it said, man, everybody's in here having sex. And ain't nobody complaining. And then the man said, and they're not giving us contraceptives. My God. You can only imagine what that means. If you got all the prisoners in prison having sex with each other and they're not allowing the prisoners to have contraceptives, that means that the system is allowing these men to kill each other. Basically, genocide upon the black, white, and Hispanic population. And you Mexicans or Hispanics out there, you need to know that y'all in there having sex too. Everybody's in there having sex. Up on top of the point that they're racially killing each other off. And now with this white boy in Mississippi starting up this mess, now there's going to be some more racial tension because the skinheads or the whites that's losing their homes and everything. Have you, man, this hatred that is being spewed out for this high yellow brother that's in the White House needs to stop. What is it when you think of a black man and his wife and his two black kids and maybe cousin come and visit him in the White House, that the White House is polluted? That's a word of wisdom from you. All of us spew body waste and it all stinks. It makes no difference from whence body it comes from. There is no body purer or cleaner than another body. And the reason that we need to learn how to pray for each other is because if you do not think like that, you will find yourself pitted against other people because of the color of their skin. And it has nothing to do with anything. That is total bullcrap. Bullcrap from white people, bullcrap from black people. You're not supposed to vote for Obama because he's black. You're not supposed to vote for Romney because he's white. It does not make any sense. That is racial divide. Because if it comes down to it and if it goes into war, black folk, you're going to lose. Because there's more white folk than black folk. They got more guns and weaponry than we do. If they wanted to, 1 week, they can rid the whole country of us. But they just don't want to get rid of the Temptations in Motown yet. There's too much beauty in our culture. But that's what racism is. Racism is a foul social intent. The only thing that can stop that is prayer. Now, let me give you some more information here. Because prayer is what? Prayer is private. Now, in Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, "But when you pray, go into a room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." In other words, when I pray, I was here last night all by myself. I was praying out loud, crying all in my bed and everything, telling God how lonely I am. I'm not ashamed. And hey, what did he do? He put me to sleep. He just put me to sleep. You don't be getting up in front of somebody letting them know what you're talking to God about. Pray in private. My goodness, in the evening and in the morning. Psalm 55:17 says, "Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he will hear my voice." So those of you that's losing your car, losing your job, your family's all splitting up because you ain't got no more money, especially y'all had that nice house way out in that part of town. You can't even pay the gardener anymore. The weeds growing up. Can't get the swimming pool clean. Hey, brother, hey, you better pray in the evening, in the morning, at noon, all the time. Psalm 88:1 says, day and night. Look at this. A song of a psalm of the sons of Korah to the choir master according to Nethalan Lenoth. Let me get down to it. O Lord my God, I call for help by day. I cry in the night before me. Now, how long do you thank God to do this? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, I'm to do it and never stop. It says, pray constantly. That's all it says in that verse. I know you're just praying for your own family, you selfish fool. Pray for the black men in prison. Pray for the black men in prison who don't get no visitors, whose mama and daddy and brothers and sisters never write him, never send him a package. You know, if I was in prison, I would want somebody to send me some Ritz crackers and some peanut butter. That's all I want, man. That would be the snack of the ages for me. They can't get that in the commissary. I wouldn't want no cigarettes. Give me some peanut butter and some Ritz crackers. Some of these guys, some of these young black guys, ain't nobody sending them nothing. They got their hair all braided up in cornrows and everything looking stupid. Why? Because their mamas raised them and they don't know how to get their hair cut like a man is supposed to get it cut. So they just get their hair braided. You need to pray for these youngsters. Now, one more verse and then I'm finished. In Acts chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for a man of Tarsus whose name is Saul, for behold, he is praying." Now, this is when God told one of his saints to go into a house and lay your hands on a man and pray for him. When God told the man what the name of the man was, he didn't want to go and do it because he said, "I heard about this dude. This dude be killing people. I'm not going over there to pray for him. This is a dangerous cat, man. I'm not going over there." But God told him, "Go on over there, lay your hands on him and pray for him." And the reason that he told him to do that, because he knew that if he prayed for him, that Paul, the Apostle Paul, Saul at that time, would become one of his greatest crusaders for righteousness. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to find out where this young man in this prison is. And I'm going to personally, that's going to be another thing that I'm going to do. Because when I was on the radio, I used to talk with prisoners that listened to me when I was on the radio on Sunday nights. But I'm going to find where this guy is in jail. And I'm going to write him a letter. And I'm going to let him know that I'm a pastor and that I saw some of the clips on YouTube about him. And I'm going to write to him just to encourage him and said, "I am praying for you. There's somebody out here that loves you. I don't care what your brother did. I don't care what you did. God is mightier than all of that." And I'm going to write him. And no, I'm not going to give you his name and address because I'm not going to ask. What you need to do is you need to go on the internet. You need to go to prisons.com and you need to find somebody in prison that did something heinous. You really want to live out your Christianity. Go there and find somebody that did something heinous. "Oh, I could never." You hypocrite. You're going to church every Sunday, right? You took communion yesterday, right? Got up there and sung your hypocritical songs, right? I got young black men in prison for life, life sentence. For life, no one will be able to look in his eyes and tell him it's all right. For life, no one. I'm through with it. Thanks for coming to my website. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles, which is the Biblical Alternative. You know the drill. Stay into the Word.